Tonight, we're going to continue a study that we started several months ago in regard to angels. And there was a question put in our question box about angels, and it was a rather broad question, one that I just couldn't answer in one lesson. And so we've spent several lessons talking about what the Bible has to say about angels. And we looked at the divine angel, that is God Himself. The Bible sometimes talks about the angel of the Lord. In other words, the angel who is the Lord. And that happens in the Scriptures more often than not, especially in the Old Testament. We also looked at angels in one lesson as they contributed to the punishment and discipline and chastening of man. Sometimes angels were used to punish evil and wicked men and wicked things that men have done. We also looked at the angel's role in benefiting others. In fact, there are angels as benefactors in the Bible, and that's the last lesson we studied together on angels. But tonight we're going to look at angels as divine messengers. And if there's anything that characterizes angels, that would be it. Because the word angel, both in Hebrew and in Greek, malach in Hebrew and angelos in Greek, that word means a messenger. Now, the word angel is a transliteration of the Greek word angelos, and you can kind of hear angel, angelos, they kind of sound similar. And so, though that's where we get our word angel from today. Sometimes the word is translated messenger, but most of the time it's translated angel. And the Hebrew word malach is also the word translated messenger. But more often than not, it's translated angel because it has reference to a non-human created person. And of course, God has created angels, and angels have been used in His plan to, in the Old Covenant, reveal the Word of God, and then in the New Covenant to confirm the Word, and then also to confirm the fact that men are now responsible for preaching and teaching God's Word. And that's one of the things we're going to look at this evening. First of all, as we think about angels as divine messengers, we note that this is their fundamental character, especially in the Old Testament. Several passages depict angels bringing verbal messages from God to men. Zechariah chapter 1 through Zechariah chapter 6, Zechariah is portrayed as speaking with the angel of the Lord. The same is true regarding the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. If you remember, an angel is speaking to him, you know, throughout the book and giving him this revelation, this vision. And every once in a while, he has an occasion to stop and talk to this angel about these things. The same is true in the Old Testament, several places. But in the New Testament, we see that angels and their role, specifically as divine messengers, bringing the Word of God to others, diminishes to a certain degree. Angels certainly bear news of important events in the New Testament scheme of salvation. For example, in Luke chapter 1, in verses 8 through 23, the angel Gabriel spoke to Zacharias to announce the birth of John the baptizer. And so an angel came to Zacharias. If you remember that story, he met him there in the temple while Zacharias was offering incense. And that's an interesting study in and of itself. Perhaps we'll study that in one lesson someday. But you remember Zacharias was a priest, and it was his turn to go into the altar of incense and offer the incense. And this was such an honored aspect of the worship. Priests, there were so many priests who had to draw a lot in order to participate in this that most priests only got to do this one time in their lifetime. And so this particular instance, Zechariah was in there offering the incense, and all of a sudden an angel appears to him. And the text says he was sorely afraid. And I think he knew what happened in Leviticus chapter 10 to Nadab and Abihu when they were offering incense, right? And maybe he thought the same thing was about to happen to him. But the angel told him, don't be afraid. He's coming to give him some news that his wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son, John the Baptizer. Mary also spoke to the angel Gabriel during her when the angel informed her of her impending pregnancy as a result of God's miraculous work to give birth to Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 38 records that announcement on the part of Gabriel to Mary. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 20 through 24 doesn't identify the angel that came and spoke to Joseph, that is Mary's husband. But you remember Joseph found Mary to be with child, and he was going to put her away privately. But then the angel came and said, Joseph, don't do that. You don't have to put her away. She was not unfaithful to you. This is something that God is working, something God is doing. And so now, don't be afraid to take her to wife. And of course, we know the rest of the story, that Mary gives birth to Jesus. And so an angel announced that to Joseph. Angels also brought news of Jesus' birth to the nearby shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 15, who told them that on this day the Savior is born. And then as a result of that announcement, the angels began praising God and singing, peace on earth and glory to God in the highest. The first news of the resurrection of Jesus was also conveyed by angels, if you remember. Matthew chapter 28 verse 5 and Luke 24 and verse 23 and John chapter 20 and verses 12 through 13. There was an angel there who was by the tomb and told those who arrived that Jesus is no longer here, but that he has risen. Let's look at John chapter 20 and verses 12 through 13 for just a moment and see what that text says. John chapter 20 and verses 12 and 13. And she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Okay, so the angels were there and they did speak. Matthew 28 verse 5, Luke 24 and verse 23 records that. But there was one at the head and one at the foot. And they told those who came that Jesus had risen from the dead. And so the work of angels was important. And it was something that they did. They announced things. They gave messages. They brought good news. They even rejoiced when they brought that good news to the shepherds who were standing in the fields tending their flocks. But the work of angels became more and more limited after the Great Commission. When Jesus turned to the apostles and said, you go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20. And so Jesus gave the message then to men to take that message to others and to disseminate the message of the gospel. So men became the primary agent involved in preaching the gospel. And the angels took a lesser and lesser role, and in fact wouldn't even preach the gospel to those who needed to hear the gospel, because that job had been given to men. And let's look at that for just a moment. In Acts chapter 1 and verses 10 through 11, there, as Jesus is ascending up into heaven, the apostles and others are standing by watching this, most likely with, you know, slack jaw and bugged eyes, right? I mean, that's kind of what you would think they would be doing as they see Jesus ascending up, you know, and taken into the clouds like that. And then this happens, Acts chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." I always see this as these two saying, why are you guys standing around slack-jawed and bug-eyed looking into heaven? Jesus is coming back. You go get busy. You know, that's kind of what the message seems to be. Don't just stand around looking up. Get going. Get busy. They had a job to do. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, after Peter and John are miraculously freed from prison, the angel that lets them out of the prison says in verse 20, "Go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life." In other words, Peter and John were to go back into the temple and start preaching and teaching the gospel. The angel didn't do that work. It was Peter and John's responsibility to do that work. They had been put into prison, and so the angel came to let them out so that he could then facilitate their work of preaching and teaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, an angel came to Philip and told him to go to the south from Jerusalem toward Gaza. And you remember when he went on that road, he met the Ethiopian eunuch. And so he was there doing the work. Philip was doing the work of God and preaching the gospel, but it was the angel who told him where to go. So facilitating that work. Cornelius was visited by an angel in Acts chapter 10 and verses 3 and 7, but was not told what to do to be saved, even though he was lost. He was a Gentile. He had not heard the message of the gospel, and he had not been saved at this point. But the angel didn't say, "Hey, all you got to do to be saved is this." He didn't do that. Why? And that's a very important question that we need to ask. Why didn't the angel give Cornelius the message of the gospel? Here was a man who needed to be saved. Here was a man who was willing to do whatever the Lord told him to do. Why didn't the angel just preach the gospel to him? There was a reason why. Because the gospel had been given into the hands of men. And it was the responsibility of men to preach the gospel to others. Look in Acts chapter 10 for just a moment. Acts chapter 10. And if you have your Bibles, open up there, because this is a really important point to recognize. Acts chapter 10 verse 3. "About the 10th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius,'" an angel of God. Now look in verse 7. "And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually." So the angel departed, and he called for a servant. The angel told him to send men to Joppa for Simon, whose surname is Peter, verse 5, and told him even where to go to find him. But Peter was the one who had to come to Cornelius' house and to preach the gospel to him. Now, look a little bit over in verse 22 of this same chapter, Acts chapter 10 and verse 22. "And they said, 'Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you.'" To hear words from you. Not from the angel, but from Peter. That's where the words had to come from. And so, in chapter 11, and then in verse 13, when Peter is recounting all of these things, he says, "And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter.'" And we all know, of course, that Peter preached the message of the gospel to Cornelius, and then he obeyed that message. He was baptized, he and all of his household. So the message of the gospel wasn't preached by angels. It was preached by men, and angels did not interfere in that task. It was not their job to do it, but rather it was the job of men to do it. The role of angels provided support to the apostles in teaching and preaching God's word, and to the prophets of the New Testament, those inspired of God to preach and teach the word of God. They released them from prison. They sent them on the right road. They released Peter from prison when Herod Agrippa I took him prisoner in Acts chapter 12. They told lost people who were wanting to do what was right where to find a preacher so that they could hear the gospel and be saved. So angels facilitated, but they didn't preach the gospel message directly. And the work of angels in giving revelation to men was at an end. And today is past. Angels will no longer come down to earth and announce to men what they need to do to be saved, in spite of the claims of some men to the contrary. In fact, one modern day religion, the Mormon religion, is based upon a series of alleged revelations that was given to Joseph Smith by an angel. But listen to what God's word says about that. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul writes these words: "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now listen to that again. Paul says, if some alleged angel comes seeking to preach another gospel to you, that angel is accursed. It doesn't matter whether or not he's an angel. And in fact, Paul anticipates that there very may well be some angels come and preach another gospel, and says whether it's men or whether it's even an angel, you don't believe it, because the gospel has been preached and we have it written down for us right here in the Bible. And so the work of angels in giving revelation to men has passed. Now, angels once had a work in bringing the message of God to men, and the Old Testament is called, to some degree, the message of angels. According to Acts chapter 7, verse 53, Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, and Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. But I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 and see who it is, or see from whom it is that we have the message today. Listen to these words. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds." Now listen to that for a moment. In times past, God spoke in many different ways. He used angels. He used, in the high priest's garments, there was something called the Urim and the Thummim, by which a high priest could call upon God to get information. God used prophets, and the Holy Spirit inspired these prophets to speak. And so God spoke to man in many different ways in times past. Sometimes God even spoke directly, like, for example, spoke directly to Abraham on certain occasions. But those days are over. That's times past. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. And so it's through Jesus today that we hear the message of the gospel. And Jesus told men to go into all the earth and preach the gospel to every creature. And so what was once the message of angels is now the message of men. You see, the Bible is completely sufficient to give us everything that we need for life and godliness, and it is inspired of God so that we might have all things that we need. Every scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so the role of angels is no longer to be messengers in the sense that they bring a message from God to man. That role is no longer their role. It was given to inspired men, and those inspired men wrote those things down in the Bible, and now we have the Word of God in written form, and that's how we know what God's will is today. Now, we want to note one thing, and some may be saying, well, in times past, angels were messengers, and they did preach and teach, you know, God's will, but I want you to note one thing. They never knew the message of the gospel. They never knew what God's plan was to save man. They were limited in their knowledge. And their role was limited in its scope even. How do we know that? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Peter is writing about the message of the gospel, and he says this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Well, let's back up to verse 10. He says, of this salvation, that is the message of the gospel, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So even the prophets were limited in their knowledge, because they inquired and searched diligently, and they really didn't know what it was all about. But look at verse 11. What did they do? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So they knew that something special was going to happen, and that God was going to send his Messiah, that he was going to suffer, and then he was going to be glorified. But they didn't know when that was going to happen. They didn't know a lot about it. And so they searched the Scriptures. And they looked through their own prophecies. And they tried to figure out, well, when is this going to take place? And they couldn't know. They didn't know. Now look at verse 12. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. So in other words, the prophets were ministering, they were serving, but they weren't serving themselves. Who were they serving? They were serving us. Because the message that they wrote down now has been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And when we look back to the prophets and understand them through the revelation of Jesus, we can know what they were talking about. So they reported these things to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So look, who are the ones who are preaching the gospel? It's those who have been sent to you. And who are those who have been sent to you? It is the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. The men that Jesus chose to preach the gospel. And then those who they converted, who went out preaching the word of God as well. Now look at the last part of verse 12. Okay, now let's read verse 12 one more time just so we get it all in context. To them it was revealed, that is to the prophets of the Old Testament, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, those underneath the New Testament, they, that is the prophets of the Old Testament, were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you, that's the apostles and prophets, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Now look at this last part. Things which angels desire to look into. Now that's the point that we're looking at tonight. Even the angels didn't know what the message of the gospel was going to be. And so how could they be the one who revealed the gospel, who revealed the gospel message today when they don't even know it? At least not at the time that Peter wrote. Now maybe some of them have a little better understanding of it. Here and now, 2,000 years later, after all the preaching that has taken place since that time. But the fact of the matter is that when Peter wrote this, he said, angels desire to look into these things. Because they didn't know. They didn't know from times eternal what God's plan was. And they didn't understand what was happening. And so the role of angels to reveal God's work was not their primary work. Angels were more or less ignorant of God's plan of salvation until after it was revealed by Jesus to his apostles, and then they went forth into the world and preached it to others, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now again, those who claim personal angelic revelation today misunderstand the role of angels in the Bible. The role angels play today is limited to being servants. They are no longer messengers in the sense that they were messengers in the Old Testament. They are now ministering spirits. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Now angels continue to exist and they continue to work. And we don't know what their work is today. Some have suggested that there are guardian angels. And they cite Psalm chapter 91 and verse 11 in this regard, which says, "For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." And we note that, in fact, Satan quoted this verse to Jesus when he said to Jesus, "Cast yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple, for the scripture says he will give his angels charge concerning thee." And what was Jesus' reply to Satan at that moment? He said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And what does this teach us about angels? That it wasn't necessarily angels' job to protect everyone from just about every dumb thing that they try to do. Now, if Jesus had listened to Satan, which he didn't, and cast himself off the temple, there's no guarantee that the angels would have saved him. And why is that? Because angels let men make their own decisions and use their own free will. You see, this promise, "He will give angels charge over thee to keep thee all thy ways," was never intended as a sort of comprehensive insurance, especially when one tries to tempt God. Now, another passage in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, some people take as referring to guardian angels. And Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10 says this, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And a lot of people read that and they say, "Oh, you see, children, little ones, they have guardian angels. And so they're going to take care of the children." No, that's not what the passage is teaching. In fact, if you'll read it in the context, little ones in this passage doesn't refer to children necessarily at all. It could refer to children, but not necessarily. Little ones are simply those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. Those are the little ones in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. And if you look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4, you'll see that within the context, that's what Jesus is talking about. Angels work if they work in regard to protect the saints, they do that only when it is consistent with God's purposes, and we never know about it at all. And so it's not up to us to know what the role and work of angels is in detail today. As I mentioned earlier, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us this, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" They do serve the saints. But we don't know in what role or in what capacity or when they're working or when they're not working. None of that has been revealed to us. And so, as is said in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, "The secret things belong unto God, but the things that have been revealed belong unto us and to our children." And so let's stick with the things that have been revealed in God's Word and not worry so much about things that we really don't know anything about and that the Word of God really doesn't reveal to us. But let's say this, uninterrupted personal protection is not reflecting scriptural teaching of the subject. That is, there's no guarantee in the Bible that there will be uninterrupted personal protection for the saints. In fact, just the opposite. Jesus makes it very clear that if you're going to be faithful to Him, you need to expect persecution. Even Paul tells Timothy that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, angels are not there to be guardian, quote-unquote, guardian angels, so as to protect us at all given times. That's just not the case at all. What is their role today? They are servants. They are ministers. They do not preach the message of the gospel any longer. That job has been given to men. That message has been delivered into the hands of men. And that is our responsibility today, to take the gospel to others. So if you're waiting on an angel to tell you what to do to be saved, you're going to be waiting forever, because they're not going to come tell you. But if you will open God's Word and study it and listen to it and read it, it will tell you to hear the gospel, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus as Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. And in doing that, you can become a child of God. Do you need to become a Christian this evening? Are you a Christian but haven't been living faithfully? Neither are you going to receive a message from an angel about repentance. God has given you everything in His Word that you need in order to effect repentance in your life. Will you not make your request known this evening? Come, while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement.